This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. An in-depth investigation of privately owned nursing homes finds that cost-cutting and profits are often prioritized over patient safety and well-being. Over 70% of nursing homes in the United States are privately owned. Here in Wisconsin, 56% of certified nursing facilities were privately owned as of 2023, according to data from KFF. What does it mean for residents and staff when profit is part of the picture at a nursing home? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or a loved one live in some kind of nursing care facility? Is it for-profit or non-profit? Has it changed in recent years? Do you work in this business? Do you see a difference when for-profit companies take over nursing homes? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Campbell is an independent investigative journalist. He co-wrote a new report in The Conversation on for-profit nursing homes. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is something I didn't know. I think maybe a lot of people may not have suspected. Why is for-profit business such a big player in nursing homes in Wisconsin and around the country?
Yeah, well, it might seem a little counterintuitive, but for-profit nursing homes and nursing home sector, by and large, is very profitable, despite what some nursing home providers may want people to believe. There's always this talk of constantly being cash trapped, but a congressional research service so found that this is at least half $1 trillion of government money flows into this industry. And not only are there profits from the direct payments, but for-profit nursing homes can also own the pharmacy that's associated with providing medications or the staffing industry or business that provides staffing. So not only do these businesses get to profit off of the nursing home itself, but they get to provide the ancillary services as well to increase their profits.
Before we get into what this means for people who actually live at these nursing facilities, I want to talk a little more about the revenue here. As you mentioned, industries might point toward what look like not huge bottom lines, not huge profit margins. But you mentioned they might be profiting from the pharmacy. Also, a big part of this is real estate. So if I'm hearing this story, this is interesting to me, Sean. If I run one of these private equity or other corporations, I buy into the nursing home business. I then sell the land under the buildings to another entity that I also have a stake in. Then I charge a very big rent and maybe management and operating fees for that land. So it's another way to extract money from nursing homes. That's part of where the money's going?
Yes. In a number of cases, and a number of cases that we talk about in our article, with a real estate investment trust, a private company, a private equity company, oftentimes will start up another company that will buy the real estate from out underneath the nursing home and then charge that nursing home rents. So the rents can stay stable or they can increase over time. And that same company that owns the nursing home is essentially paying itself money for rent. And over time, as the rent can increase, and in some cases does increase, this can then be used as a reason to say that, well, this nursing home isn't profitable. We have to find a way to cut costs, maybe reduce staffing. That's often a thing that's raised by a number of these for-profit nursing homes, is that they can't afford a certain staffing level. But when you really parse who owns each individual company, more often than not, you will find that the costs that are really burdening the nursing home trace back to the original owners. Whether it be real estate is a big one, and pharmacy, as I mentioned before, or staffing agencies. And another aspect that makes this as kind of a second layer of profitability is if the nursing home fails, you have that real estate investment trust that has the land. So the nursing home can be going under, it's no longer salvageable. So then the real estate investment trust can then sell the land from underneath the nursing home, and the nursing home can close, generating another kind of wave of profits here.
Talking about for-profit ownership of nursing homes in the U.S., Sean Campbell wrote a big piece on this in The Conversation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Sean, a focus, of course, of your piece is what this means for patients at nursing homes. You open with an example in, this is Louisville, Kentucky, an outfit mm-hmm. called Landmark, owned by a company called Infinity Healthcare Management. This seems, I hope, is a worst case. Can you talk about what you saw there?
Yeah. So I will start this off too by saying that this was one of the worst cases, but not an outlier in terms of when you look at some of these for-profit middle tier, as we call them, nursing home chains, this isn't an anomaly. But at Louisville, the Landmark facility there that's owned by Infinity Healthcare, the facility was a mess. This is inspector saying this wasn't me. Even one of the own staff said that the condition seemed unsanitary. The residents were roaming the halls. In two instances, at least, there was sexual touching between the residents, which borders on sexual assault when we talk about people that might not be cognizant of their own surroundings. So this was a very bad case, and they were fined substantially for it. But Infinity actually owns a number of poor performing nursing homes that aren't too far off from Landmark. And since the story has published, even in Kentucky, there's facilities that outpace the level of fines of Landmark at Louisville. So again, this was a bad case where you have sexual touching, you have in one instance, an assault from a nursing and staff pushing down a resident and injuring them. But it's by far not alone.
You mentioned fines. Who is in charge of regulating these nursing homes and deciding if a company should be able to buy more of them?
Yeah, so the predominant organization that's in charge of regulating these nursing homes is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS for short. That's run through the federal government, and it's a little bit of a structured way of overseeing this. There are state inspectors, and then there are federal inspectors, and then there can also be another layer of oversight that's particular to each state that can be run by state health departments or local health departments. So there's all of this kind of comes together in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but the inspectors can come from multiple areas. And this is, again, a part because over $460 billion flows into this industry annually. So it behooves the federal government to take an ownership of regulating and looking after to these nursing homes to make sure there's some level of oversight and care being given.
And when it comes to these fines, are they seen as a sufficient deterrent or something that once a company receives them seems to turn around their behavior?
So fines are an easy way to kind of put a dollar amount to harm, to poor care. But when you actually factor in how much money they can make on a monthly or annual basis, it's not that much. But fines typically lead to what can really hurt a nursing home, which are payment denials. This is once you have these levels of repeated high fines and numerous lapses of care, CMS can cut off the payments that come from the federal government. And that can really, that basically just cuts off the flow of money into the nursing home. So the company has a vested interest in terms of fixing this. So I want to put that out there too, where mm-hmm. fines are significant and the next level up from the fines, which isn't as easy for people to kind of wrap their heads around, are payment denials where money is actually cut off from the facilities. Now, this is an incentive to get their act together, but again, like we talked about before, these can be incredibly profitable, especially when you're paying yourself money for taking care of the residents. So it's an incentive to improve your profitability. But in some cases, and with some of the more problematic owners that we found, it's not as much of an incentive to provide good care as we would hope.
We're talking to journalist Sean Campbell about a new report on for-profit nursing home companies and their records of fines and cost-cutting. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What has your experience been like with nursing homes? If you've been to one yourself or have a loved one there or you work there, have you seen positive or negative experiences? Do you think it matters if one is operated for profit or non-profit? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up a conversation about the for-profit nursing home industry. Over 70% of nursing homes in the U.S. are privately owned, over half in Wisconsin. Our guest investigation found lots of concerns, including safety and well-being of patients. Sean Campbell stays with us, investigative journalist based in New York. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Ron is with us in Poinette. Ron, hi.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Ron. What did you want to bring up?
I'm curious. How do you find out if a nursing home is privately owned or what you're talking about, the corporation? Mm-hmm. I'm 80 years old. I hope I don't have to go into one. But why is this legal in the United States?
Ron, thanks a lot for the call. First of all, transparency, Sean. Is it easy to tell if a company is for-profit or non-profit? If it's for-profit, is it easy to tell who actually owns it?
So CMS does have this information. When you go to Care Compare, you can look up nursing homes from their website, and they'll give you a star rating system, and it will give you those kinds of information as to whether they're for-profit, government-owned, or non-profit. There is also, to give a little plug here for ProPublica, ProPublica has the Nursing Home Compare that has even more granular information, has all the information that CMS has, but makes it more easy to not only see what the star ratings are, but to also pull up what some of the more recent reports have been, inspection reports, so you can see how many times they've been fined. But by and large, the star rating system is fine, but it has its problems. The inspections, that's another way of judging care, but it's hard to really judge a nursing home just by the care of when an inspector goes in there and what they see. It's another metric that you can use, for-profit, private, or non-profit, another thing that you kind of use to really understand. The new piece of information, which what our investigation focused on, which was really linking the chains together, which is something that CMS started doing last year, where they have what's called affiliated entities, which you can also see with Nursing Home Compare. It'll tell you what their affiliated entity is. But looking and seeing what the affiliated entities are, I feel, is probably the best bet to judge the quality of a nursing home. When we looked at these figures, and we talked about the mid-sized chains that seem to be the poor performers compared to one-off owners or people that just own a handful of nursing homes, or even the largest for-profit companies, the mid-sized groups seem to have the most issues with them. But there are good nursing home chains. There are good for-profit nursing home chains, and it shows across their facilities. And these are the facilities that will typically have higher overall quality rating, lower levels of fines, all sorts of the metrics that you want to look at. If there is quality within those chains, I think it's a good bet that that facility is also going to be of a higher quality. So it's not as easy as it should be to really differentiate the good from the bad, but there are ways to do it using some of the tools I mentioned. And at least recently, some of this transparency is improving, if not nearly as good as it could be.
Thanks again for that call. We'll go to Elizabeth now in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's okay.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We had a pretty bad experience with my mother being in a basically a Medicare-funded nursing home. Excuse me, I'm sorry. medication mix-ups. Within a week, she had a wrist sprain issue, found out that some CNAs were not even fully certified, yet this place touted their lovely little dining room with their, you know, tablecloths and whatnot. That seemed to be more important to present to people. And it was pretty sad. And I think, you know, some people don't have a choice as to what type of nursing home they can go into. Some of the wealthier people can go into nicer places, and that issue isn't there. I know for a fact because I visited people at nicer places.
Sure, Elizabeth, thanks a lot for the call. Sorry for that experience. You look in your piece at research, Sean, on what happens when these facilities go from nonprofit to for-profit in some cases. I think JAMA, there was research published. What do we see when it comes to increased risks of health hazards like that, even emergency room visits?
Yeah. For what I want to say, I'm sorry for your experience, caller. These things can be difficult. And when we talk about when they switch from nonprofit or government to for-profit, generally we see a decline in quality. We see an even larger decline in quality when they move from into the hands of private equity companies, which private equity, by and large, emphasizes short-term returns on profits. So it's not kind of the long-term investment that you would hope for or want. I wouldn't even say hope for, that you would want or need when it comes to nursing home care, because these are people that have substantial health issues. That's where you see an even larger decline. And there's research that backs up that as well, that over a period of time, when private equity firms get involved, we see declines in care and even outcomes, higher risk mortality, adverse events, like you mentioned, medication mix-ups. Mm-hmm. What will happen with a lot of these companies, like the caller alluded to there, is that when people come in, people often don't have a choice. Sometimes your family member is infirmed or they suddenly just started showing signs of dementia and can't care for themselves, or they don't have the money to really look after them themselves at home, which can be incredibly expensive. So a lot of attention can be given to the aesthetics of a facility, but the underlying care of staffing or the people who are being staffed, the level of management oversight, those are the areas where you can cut costs, and a layperson walking in wouldn't necessarily know the difference. Everything would just look good. It's only until something bad happens that you begin to question that. So these are all the things that we do see with research, that lower levels of staffing, private equity ownership, these can all lead to reductions in care. The movement to for-profit also shows generally a reduction in care, but as I mentioned before, there are some very good for-profit facilities. There's just there's fewer than them than there are the nonprofit or government facilities.
Thanks for that call. Sean Campbell is with us. We're talking about a piece he wrote in The Conversation about for-profit businesses in the nursing home industry. Back to your calls now. Mary Kay is with us in Kenosha. Mary Kay, hello. Mary Kay, are you there? I think we lost her. Let's try George in Wanakee. George, hi.
Hi, Rob. This is George. I'm the retired state long-term care ombudsman for Wisconsin. And I remember when I was working, we were examining the vertical integration of the long-term care system in the for-profit sector, running from group homes, assisted living, nursing homes, and then discovered that there was in terms of the for-profit sector, a relationship to the larger Hospital Corporation of America, as well as some of the hotel chains such as Marriott. And I'm wondering if your examination looked at the impact of that sort of integration.
George, thanks a lot for the call. Sean, have you seen that sort of, I know some of the companies you write about also own at least healthcare facilities.
We didn't look into the hospital, or not the hospital, the hotel ownership, but there is this kind of vertical integration that where there are, they can own healthcare facilities, where again, you could have a resident who you look after in your nursing home that you can then say, this person needs care, specialized care, and then send them to one of your facilities that you also own to receive that specialized care, and then charge however much money you want to charge for that. Well, you know, within reason, where you then get to pay yourself the money and then also record it as a loss on your nursing home. So this is the one of the ways that nursing home operators can kind of gripe about being an industry that isn't very profitable. They're not making much money, but because they can charge themselves essentially high rates for things like integrated healthcare services. So yes, we do have that, and we mentioned that in the story, along with, as I mentioned before, with the real estate investment trust, where not only are you charging yourself for services, you're also charging yourself for rent.
George, thanks for that call. Sean, in just our last few moments, are there any changes in regulation maybe in the works or being called for here?
There are some things that advocates have been asking for and calling for. I will also say that with the Biden administration, we have seen a noticeable uptick in fines and enforcement, a very substantial uptick, more than anywhere else. And so things are in the works for getting some regulation there. But I would argue, and I think most people who work in this sector, at least from the patient care standpoint, would say that not enough has been done. We definitely need more transparency so we can notice the bad actors, easily suss them out, and decide where we're going to take our loved ones. And then there's more regulation that could happen in terms of how are you recording your profits? Are you paying yourself a market rate? These are some of the things, and also local prosecutors can also be more in charge of levying lawsuits against the homes that can.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Sean Campbell, a journalist. His new piece in The Conversation digs into the for-profit nursing home industry. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.